You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Anthony Kastrovince and Phil Rogers.
This is Phil Rogers for MLB.com Extras, White Sox edition. Looking at the White Sox, a team that has just kind of been in the middle all year. They won't be pushed to the side. Get off to the start of the second half, take two out of three from the Astros. Probably counts as a series where you do what you have to do. Maybe improving the bullpen a little bit. Bring in my colleague, Anthony Kastrovince. Anthony, what do you kind of look for the White Sox as they get the second half really rolling?
I just want to see more of Jose Abreu, Phil. And I think his improvement from a batting average perspective as the season's gone along, you know, he's not just a free-swinging slugger. He really has an approach that's improved as the year's gone along. He's been so much fun to watch, and he's made them so much fun to watch.
Now we're joined by Scott Merkin, MLB.com's White Sox reporter. Merk, kind of a tough start for the Pale Hose after the All-Star break. How are you looking at them as they kind of rebound from what was a little bit of a false start?
Well, I mean, you know, they did win the series against Houston. They just didn't play very well on that Sunday. And they had, you know, two close games against a team that obviously is probably in a deeper rebuild than they are right now. But, you know, I think that's just been kind of, as many players have said over the course of their careers, you know, the record doesn't lie. And that's pretty much what the White Sox have been this year. They're a team that's, you know, anywhere from 7-under to 2-over, and they really haven't gone on that run this year. I know the players still have the hope that, you know, with there being so much parity in the American League, that if they can go on some sort of 12-3 run, something like that, they can get back into the second wild card spot. But I think, you know, their approach under Robin for the 3 years has been there has been just day at a time. You know, it's interesting where you even ask Robin a question a lot of times about a starter, you know, maybe a day or two ahead, and he basically just kind of smiles and says, well, we're focused on tonight's game. And that's kind of the approach. And obviously things can change, you know, depending on the moves they make. But right now they're not really targeting the playoffs. They're targeting a certain win total as much, just playing the best they can each day and then, you know, going from there. It sounds a little cliche, but it really is the case of the situation the White Sox are in right now.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. I was a little hard on them. They come out of the break with the 2-1 run victories over the Astros and then have an ugly loss in the last game of the series, and sometimes it seems like the negative stuff sticks around longer than it should.
Yeah.
Looking at that series and at the White Sox coming out of the break, obviously in the first half, one of the big issues was the bullpen getting the eighth and ninth inning kind of taken care of. And it seemed like Robin Ventura, number one, he has a little bit different personnel with Taylor Thompson up for his made his major league debut and off to a good start. And then also Zach Putnam kind of taking over for Belisario in the closer's role. Do you see this as a situation they're going to ride a while?
I think it's going to be Putnam and Petrushka, which is kind of what the ninth inning came down to, I believe it was Saturday, or the second game against Houston. And that, you know, kind of riding the hot hand. People need to remember when they're killing the bullpen, and the bullpen has coughed up some, you know, some tough losses this year. I mean, you think of the game in Boston, which the second to last game of the four-game series against Boston, which might have got the Red Sox going in the right direction, where they blew a four-run lead late for Chris Sale. And you think of the game in Baltimore where Chris Davis had the walk-off three-run shot off Ronald Belisario. Just a couple examples the Sox are probably trying to forget. But one thing to remember is that two key pieces of the bullpen had been gone for a good portion of the year, and that's Matt Lindstrom, who was the closer, and then Nate Jones, who really has, I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but hasn't faced more than a handful of batters this whole year, because he was really hurt. If you want to go back to the beginning of spring, and I think even hurt a little bit before he even came in, he was feeling something with the back issue, and that's kind of corrected. Matt Lindstrom is coming back soon, and even if Matt Lindstrom is not, you know, Mariano Rivera, although who is really, he's not a 45-50 save guy, it affects the alignment of the bullpen. And Don Cooper has talked about that to me before, that he thinks they have good arms down there in their right spots. And the problem was a lot of these guys were being used in spots where they weren't really comfortable. So I think, you know, if you use Javi Guerra in the seventh, if you use Petrushka and Putnam in the seventh and eighth, and then you can get the ball to Matt Lindstrom, you're in better shape where you're trying to force guys into roles they're not used to. Ronald Belisario has been outstanding in the setup role, or even the extended setup role, where he goes into an inning in the third or two innings and just didn't get it done as a closer. So I think it's it's a fair criticism that the bullpen has not been great this year, but you also have to keep it in perspective for everyone, and me as well, who writes about them, that, you know, they're missing two huge pieces from that bullpen.
You know, conversely, the lineup, it looks like they've, you know, more or less got it set up now the way they would like it, having Adam Eaton healthy and starting the second half. Looks like he's running well. You know, do you see these guys possibly lined up to get back and be scoring runs the way they did in April and May? It's such a long season that I think sometimes we can lose track of just how potent this lineup was early in the year when all the parts were clicking.
Yeah, I think the key thing that they like best about their lineup is two words, and that's Jose Abreu. He just kind of, you know, Robin's even talked about that a couple times where he just changes the dynamic of a game. You know, last year they got down 3 or 4 runs and they knew pretty much they were done. They had no chance to win, and that proved out more often than not with 99 losses. But with Abreu in there, he's, you know, single-handedly turned games around a number of times this year. I don't think they put it all on him to do the job, but I think just having him in there gives the team extra confidence that they can do it, that they can rally. They've seen it happen. You know, they're up in the leaders in baseball in terms of walk-off wins. But you're right, Phil. I mean, they have other key pieces in that lineup. Adam Eaton's playing great right now. Connor Gillespie has been, I think, you know, probably if there was an award at the end of the year with comeback player and rookie of the year and Cy Young for most overlooked, Connor would be, you know, in the running on that. All he's done is just hit the ball hard consistently all year and has played pretty good defense over at third base. So he's been great. And they have guys who can get better. Tyler Flowers starting to hit a little bit. Gordon Beckham's been in a prolonged slump. Diaz is starting to come around after two really bad months, April and, you know, a little bit of March, April and May. And so there's definitely the lineup is in better position than it was, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. They're starting to hit the ball a little more consistently.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Connor Gillespie because, you know, 300 hitters are hard to find. And this is a guy that's been over 300 most of the year. You know, I mean, he could wind up hitting 325, 330 with a good second half. What have you seen for the keys to him? I mean, I know he missed a little bit of time on the disabled list, but it looks like he came back strong. And, you know, I just wonder if is this something you could see coming in spring training or anything to point to for just, you know, I know he's from a very hitterish family. His brother was a high draft pick this year's draft. So anything to point to in particular?
I think he's more at ease. You know, last year, I think he was a little like the team captain, Paul Konerko, in his early days, where although I didn't cover Paul directly, but just hearing people talk about it back, you know, when he first started, and that Connor took, you know, every out almost too seriously. You know, you even a 400 hitter makes outs 6 out of 10 times. So I think he's a little more relaxed in the spot he's in this year, and I think he's just trying to hit the ball hard. And again, it sounds like a cliche, and he mentioned this in Boston, and we all kind of chuckled, and he, you know, kind of said, well, that, you know, that's the truth. That's what I'm just trying to do, is just trying to make solid contact. So I think he's, you know, I think, I want to say he hit 11 or 12 home runs last year, but hit around 245, 250, and I think he sacrificed a little bit of the power, although it came back, you know, the week or two before the All-Star break, more for the line drive type hitting. And that's what they say his, you know, his natural swing is just a line drive hitter to the gaps, and he's done that well. The Sox have really liked his swing since they got him from San Francisco. It's a very simple swing, they said, to maintain, and they really like having it out there. It was a great deal. You know, they traded a hard-throwing minor leaguer who hasn't done much since he left for a guy who could be a key component to a winning team. And it's interesting because, Phil, as you know, they have a top prospect in Matt Davidson at third, but, you know, you're not just going to relegate Connor Gillespie the way he's playing to part-time play either. So it'll be interesting moving forward into, you know, the end of 14 and the beginning of 15, what they do at that spot.
Yeah, definitely a good balance left-handed bat to hit somewhere around Jose Abreu. One last question, and I know it's one thing that White Sox fans are really looking forward to. Carlos Rodon signed in White Sox uniform, working his way apparently to Winston-Salem, right, Merck, where he's going to start his pro career. Just how high is the anticipation level for this guy? And is there any reason that, I'm not even sure Chris Sale. I don't think we knew what Chris Sale was going to be. I think you have to go back past Chris Sale to find a guy that entered the organization with the kind of hype and excitement that Carlos Rodon creates.
No, you know, I said this in a story that maybe it was in a tweet or both, but the Sox literally seemed downright giddy over being able to get Carlos Rodon signed and ready to go and, you know, on the road towards the major leagues. And you're right, you know, Kenny Williams tells a story about how when they drafted Chris Sale, he basically told him, you get in here quick and we can use you out of the bullpen this year. And that's what happened. You know, he, I think, made his debut at Camden Yards about 2 months to the day of his draft. You know, Carlos took a little longer to come in, so, you know, it may not be bullpen. He's going to work in the bullpen in the minors this year. Not sure if it's going to be in the majors. But I talked to Kirk Champion, their highly regarded, highly respected minor league coordinator. Also, you know, has done a lot of work with pitching. And he's seen him throw a couple bullpens, and he really likes what he sees. And he says he's very attentive. He's very respectful. He's willing to learn, and he's ready to go. And he's just got great raw stuff. And the thing, you probably heard this too, Phil, is that his makeup, they say, is probably as good as his raw stuff, which is pretty darn good. And they really like the fact that when he's out there, he's just kind of a commanding presence that you want at the top of your rotation. He's kind of like Sale, that he just expects to go seven innings, not give up much, and win the game. And if he doesn't, then it's a disappointment on that start. So it's a huge addition for the White Sox, and it gives them a little flexibility with, you know, what, as of now, shapes up as a fourth lefty for the rotation.
Well, it's going to be fun watching him develop. Thanks for being on MLB Extras White Sox Edition. This is Phil Rogers for Anthony Kastrobin saying thanks.